नारायणा नमस्कृत्या नरों चैवं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवाय भागवत उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा, गुड मॉर्निंग टू एवरीवन। दिस मॉर्निंग श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास इज अ कंटिन्यूएशन ऑफ द इंस्ट्रक्शन गिवन बाय जातपरात टू महाराज रघुगण। वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग विथ श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 12 इन टेक्स्ट 12। Canto 5, Chapter 12, Text 12. Rahugana itat tapasa nayati nasejaya neva panad grihadva na chandasa neva jalagni surye vina mahat pada rajo vishekam Raghugana itat tapasa nayati न छेजाया नेवापनाद् गृहाद्वा न छन्दास नैव जलाग्नि सूर्ये विना महात्पादारजोऽभिषेकम् रहुगानैतत् तपसा नयाति न छेजाया नेवापनाद् गृहाद्वा न छन्दास नैवाजलाग्नि सूर्ये विना महात्पादारजोऽभिषेकम्। वर्ड फॉर वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। रहुगान, ओ किंग रहुगान, एतत् दिस नॉलेज तपसा बाय सिवियर ऑस्टेरिटीज एंड पेनेंसेस ना याति डज नॉट बिकम रिवील्ड ना नॉट चा also ijaya by a great arrangement for worshiping the deity neva panat or from finishing all material duties and accepting sannyas grihad from ideal householder life va or na nor chandasa by observing celibacy or studying Vedic literature na eva nor jala agni surye by severe austerities such as keeping oneself in water, in a burning fire, or in a scorching sun vina without mahat of the great devotees pada raja the dust of the lotus feet abhishekam smearing all over the body. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King Rahugan, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy, brahmacharya, strictly following the rules and regulations of householder life, leaving home as vanaprast, accepting sannyas, or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water, or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Actual knowledge of transcendental bliss can be bestowed upon anyone by a pure devotee. Vedeshu dulabham adulabham atma bhaktau. Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 33. One cannot attain the perfection of spiritual life simply by following the directions of the Vedas. One has to approach a pure devotee anyabilashta sunyam jnana karma dhyana anavritam Titaya Charitamrita, Majalila, chapter 19, text 167. By the grace of such a devotee, one can understand the absolute truth, Krishna, and one's relationship with him. A materialistic person sometimes thinks that simply by executing pious activities and remaining at home, one can understand the absolute truth. That is denied in this verse. Nor can one understand the absolute truth simply by observing the rules and regulations of brahmacharya, celibacy. Only one has to serve the pure, sorry, one only, sorry, one only has to serve the pure devotee. One only has to serve the pure devotee. That will help one understand the absolute truth without fail. Om Gina Timirandasya Jnana Gina Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Prate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpat Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhibhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadana Shiva Sadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Praya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinyamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirveshesha Sunyavari Paschatya Deshacharini Namo Mahapadanyaya Krishna Prima Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurachase Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himabhyati Vacha Vishnuraya Yasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So here's a translation again, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 12, Text 12. My dear King Rahugan, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy, brahmacharya, strictly following the rules and regulations of householder life, leaving home as a vanaprast, accepting sannyas, or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. Hare Krishna. So in reading this translation, in this text, Jatparat is instructing Maharaj Rahugan that one can definitely have the absolute truth revealed to him or her, but the process is not determined by the person who hears that revelation. The process of the absolute truth being revealed comes from the mercy of a great devotee. First of all, the person has to be in contact with a great devotee. And the great devotee of our Lord can give the absolute truth or cause a revelation of it through the mercy of that great devotee. So our spiritual life is dependent on the mercy of the great devotees. The parampara are a line of spiritual masters, all with the mercy of the Lord. They carry the Lord in their hearts. The Lord says that bhakti is locked up in the heart of the pure devotee. That's where you find Krishna. Krishna says, where there is dharma, that's where I am. Dharma is explained by the great devotee Srila Prabhupada as the characteristic of anyone, anything. He has explained even using things like sugar. The dharma of sugar is that it's sweet. That is its characteristic. Water remains in a state of liquid at normal temperatures that we're used to. It is also a universal mixer for so many things. It's also its characteristic. Now, then Srila Prabhupada explains that the characteristic of a human being is to serve. All souls are supposed to serve. But the souls in this material world, in human bodies, are the most fortunate because they have a level of intelligence. Hopefully that controls the mind. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way. But we have the intelligence to understand something beyond what the other types of non-human bodies, the souls that are in there, can understand. The minds are a little bit more open for human beings to understand and to also ask the important questions. Why am I here? What am I doing here? What are people trying to achieve? Why is there so much suffering? Why is there so much living? Living with the physical body, keeping it going, involves so much endeavor and so much trouble. Why is this happening? We heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How come this place, if we accept that He created it, because we don't know any other way anyway, that makes the most sense, He created it, how come there's so much suffering here? And how does one free themselves from the suffering? These are all very, very good questions, intelligent questions that are seeking to find out more than the person actually knows. Because if you come to this particular faith where the mercy of a great devotee, we're fortunate to have Srila Prabhupada as our point person, speaking in simple American terms, but the spiritual point person that is pointing us the way. And through His mercy, the absolute truth is also being revealed to us. He has done a lot of work in that small amount of time in his older age that he spent fully absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the function of spreading Krishna consciousness the whole world over. We are very fortunate to have the Vedas revealed to us now in a language many of us can understand. And even more languages around the world have been written, have been used in the translation of the important books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Back to Godhead magazines where articles can be written. All of that have been done for us. What we have to do is take advantage of it. See, the Prabhupada says several times, bhakti is open for those who are open to it. One should take advantage of it. One should direct their senses towards the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. And that is how to control the senses. We don't control the senses by stopping the activities of the senses. Rather, we direct their senses, our senses, towards serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, towards serving Guru, the deity, and the devotees. We always have to remember that the devotees that are around us are practice for us to relate properly to those who are in the spiritual world when we get a chance, by the mercy of the pure devotee, to go back to the spiritual world. The bodies are there for association because they remind us of Krishna, but the bodies are also there for us to use as practice as to how to relate properly when we're back home. So both are important. The advantage we get for relating to the bodies is they talk about Krishna, so they remind us of Krishna. And Srila Rupa Goswami has said that we always should think of Krishna and not forget Krishna. And therefore, being in the company of devotees, you can speak about Krishna openly and people won't look at you funny because non-devotees don't understand Krishna. When you talk about Krishna to non-devotees, you'll find yourself having to explain what you're saying. Whereas if you mention Krishna to devotees, not only are they happy to hear it, but they're ready to listen to you also. Because whatever it is, even if it's something that they already know, it's nice to repeat it because it reminds them of what they have learned and it also confirms in their mind that you understand and they know about it, so it must be the right place to be, to relate to. Sometimes we take these things for granted, but this is actually what makes us stay as devotees. Otherwise, we can easily, Maya is very strong, we can easily be pulled away into doing other things. Maya is always ready. It's an example that was given in a lecture that I heard by Srila Radha Maharaj. Bhakti of a devotee can be, we'll just make an analogy, like a pan or something you use for cooking, a cooking utensil. Normally, you can pour whatever you want to pour inside there and cook with it, maybe heat it and so on, use a stove and those things. Now, most of the time, you have some sort of liquid in there. It could be water, it could be oil, it could be something like that. And Maharaj is making a point that if we take the pan and the contents that's in it as our bhakti, we have to safeguard it. Because if we do something negative towards it, like hit the back of it strong enough or hard enough so that a hole is punched to the bottom of it, what's going to happen is the contents inside the pan is going to start leaking. And it's only a matter of time that we would lose what's in there. As a matter of fact, for that, he used just simply water, just having water in there. If the pan springs a leak, the water will find where the hole is and come out. In the same way, Maya is outside the pan. And if we accept something that is negative against the spiritual rule of law, which is in Maya's camp, then that's like a punching a hole, the punch of a hole at the bottom of the pan. It's going to start leaking. And then we realize that Krishna consciousness is not quite where we used to be excited about. Enthusiasm is very important. When Maya takes over, or if we allow Maya to come into our lives, that's the first thing that happens. Our enthusiasm goes down. That is a warning sign for us. A warning sign for us that we need to check on our sadhana, on our instructions for serving, and go through it slowly, comb through it, and ask ourselves at every point, for every line, are we doing the right thing? If our enthusiasm goes down, definitely there's a reason, and Krishna will help us to find what the reason is. And then it's up to us to be more determined. Determination is very important in Krishna consciousness. But determination is made easier the more we associate with those who are fixed up. Because by watching what they do and by hearing what they say, we will in fact safeguard our devotion, our devotional creeper, and even cause it to grow by our activities. It will get to a point where our devotional creeper is strong enough that now, when the wind hits it and tries to move it a certain place or tries to even break the stem, it's not able to. At that point, we are steady. And our devotional creeper can spring some flowers. Nice fragrant flowers. So then we get a taste. That's called ruchi. And slowly and slowly and slowly, as it is described in the scriptures, the creeper can grow and grow and grow and grow and leave literally the coverings of the material world and head for the spiritual. That is a way of describing the fact that when the devotional creeper is growing, then we are getting less and less concerned with things that we used to think were important in material life. So now they're becoming less and less and less important, and the spiritual is becoming more and more and more important. That way, that replacement process is going on. The replacement process of taking the spiritual as relevant and the material, only parts of material as necessary, and the rest of them all irrelevant. Now, Krishna also says, Yeyatama papadante tamsateva bhajami aham. That process of growing the creeper also means the process of surrender. And Krishna has said, one should surrender, and when one surrenders, then he says what he's going to do. He's going to save us from sinful reactions. We shouldn't worry about those. Purification will also go on. Things will happen in our lives that are that will cause us to be more enthusiastic. Things will happen in our lives that will challenge us. In the enthusiasm part, we should definitely maintain that, especially the chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Jat Parad is saying the mercy of a great devotee is the means by which the absolute truth is revealed. The absolute truth is who? The absolute truth is Krishna. The personification of Krishna is the absolute truth. Krishna and all about Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee, meaning that the great devotee decides to give mercy by explaining how the practical aspect of devotional service is. Devotional service is not something that you just learn to get to know and then live a life contrary or different from that which are the basic tenets of devotional service. One has to learn devotional service to incorporate it in their lives. That's why the great devotees are also called acharyas. Acharyas means that they not only teach by saying or speaking what is the absolute truth, but they also live a life in connection with service to the absolute truth. So then we watch what they do and hear what they say and do what they say and do. So they are telling us, but they are also practicing. As we know very well, when we are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra Japa, there is Japa recorded of Srila Prabhupada also chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Therefore, we can hear him and we can even imitate. But all of those are different little ways by which a person who is beginning learns how to do things properly. Therefore, it's not even a bad idea to imitate at all Srila Prabhupada. But the important thing is we have to pronounce Krishna, Ram, and Hare distinctly. We should pronounce so that we can hear. Does it give enough volume to the sound of it so we can hear? Now, not only that, if we can hear, then the living entities around us, those we can see, those we cannot see, sometimes, of course, our eyes are not the best, to very, very, very tiny things we can't see, and very, very, very big things we can't see either, because it's just too big for us to see the entire size of it. But still, we are fortunate enough that in Kali Yuga, the Mahamantra is the way to go, the Yuga Dharma. But we chant, the thing is not the chanting only, but the quality of a chanting. And therefore, there have been so many workshops on chanting. There are sannyasis who devoted their lives to having workshops on helping us to improve our chanting. The reason being that it's when the chanting comes from the heart that the connection is more significant. And then we feel it right in the heart also. And we feel it in the life that we live. We become more aware of the fact that Krishna's devotees are precious. And as soon as we think of Krishna's devotees as being precious, any item that you have that's precious, you take very good care of it. Which means you got to take good care of devotees. Whenever there's a conversation between two devotees, one should listen to the other and make a mental note of the needs of the other person, especially when they're spiritual, and see what they can do to help that person with solutions. Because when you help the person's devotional life to improve, Krishna is pleased with us. And when Krishna and Guru are pleased with us, what they do is they sweeten our own devotional life. Sometimes devotees say, but I have chanted so many years, 15 years I've been chanting, and there doesn't seem to be any difference in the way I feel about spiritual life. Well, two answers there. One, it's positive, and the other one we have to be careful of. The positive one is the realization that devotional account is there for everybody. And Krishna, as Paramatma, is the one that takes care of the devotional account. Therefore, when one chants, one is depositing into that devotional account. And when it matters the most, Krishna would show us the advantage of having a nice lump, quantity, as it's not a lump, but just quantity, of devotional, credits given to us by how we listened to what the spiritual master said to do and the mood, hopefully the good mood with which we did it. So the bank account will be there now, especially at the time of death. That's when it's needed the most, because death is transition time. And transition time for the non-devotee is fear of losing everything that they work for. But transition time or death for the body means Krishna is coming to take us back home, and now we can disconnect from the material things that we thought were necessary or we used during our lives. And now it's time to go live more carefree life of service and love, with everything around us perfect and everyone loving. That is what is waiting for us. So this process, and when we get up early in the morning, and sometimes defy our own body that wants to sleep a little more, all of those kinds of activities to push the body, to push the mind, to make us realize that this is a serious, matter of fact, a life or death situation, spiritual death, spiritual given life. Spiritual death is when we didn't do well spiritually, Bhakti Yoga. And spiritual life is when we took it more seriously. So all of these activities help us. All of these activities move us towards the goal of going back to Godhead. Now, Srila Prabhupada has also repeated in so many ways, in so many examples, the need to help others to also move forward. That's why there's book distribution. That's why there's prasadam distribution, to get other living entities to also move towards the goal of leaving the material world and going back to Godhead. So all of these can be done because the mercy of the great devotee has come through to teach us how things are done in order to get out of this jail. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, actual knowledge of transcendental bliss can be bestowed upon anyone by a pure devotee. Now, so how come a lot of people in the world don't know about it? Well, that's just because, Srila Prabhupada, one time, in answer to a question, a similar question as this one, he said, when a person, a shopkeeper, is selling diamonds, who will come? A whole lot of people will come to the store to buy diamonds? No. It's not just the fact that people don't have money to buy diamonds. People don't know the value. Sometimes you see it as, yeah, it's shiny. But some people don't know the details. Now, I'm just using it as an analogy, okay? So the details of how precious the diamond is. Bhakti yoga is diamond. It's spiritual diamond. But how many people understand that? People have been indoctrinated or fed what is of low quality and been told that this is life. And many people have bought into it. And because it's a little more difficult to strive to get to where the diamond is, so we're not using it as a regular store, you just go in and to get diamond. Some people even think we cannot get diamonds because we don't have enough money to buy the diamonds. Well, that may be, but when the mercy of a pure devotee is there, the diamonds are Lord Chaitanya's mercy, is given free to those who are going to keep the diamonds properly. If we don't, you can lose it too. So, Srila Prabhupada says, actual knowledge of transcendental bliss, which is the highest happiness, the dictionary explains bliss as the highest happiness, it can be bestowed upon anyone by a pure devotee. The only requirement is to meet or to hear the voice of a pure devotee and to connect with it. The pure devotee is not stopping anyone from hearing. Tasmi Mahaprema Ras Padaya. Srila Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is freely distributing Krishna Prema, love of Godhead, freely distributing. But how many people in Navadvipa at this time were even listening to him? Some people thought he was just a noisemaker. Some people thought he was a sentimentalist. The sannyasis that were studying Vedanta, you know, like a subject, they thought that Lord Chaitanya was just a sentimentalist, just running around in town, jumping up and down, and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And people who were attracted to him because he looked so good, he was very, very handsome and tall, were just repeating or imitating what he was doing and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra along with him. And these sannyasis, Mayavad sannyasis, thought that they were doing a more deeper aspect of a connection with the Shastra, using the Shastra, not realizing that in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya was there in Kali Yuga about 530 years ago, Kali Yuga has been going on since 5,000 years, that we were benefiting. Anybody that was joining him that way was benefiting. Yes, it was very simple. You saw him, you fell in love, even with the way he looked and did the things that he was doing, dancing and chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you fall in love with him, he is Krishna. You fall in love with Krishna, that is Krishna Prema. So we need to go on and on and on, and nobody ever, if they really are connected with spiritual life, will get bored of chanting Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has given an example. If you want water, you can chant water, 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 water. It will not quench your thirst. But if you chant Krishna's name, you can go on and on and on and on and on and never get tired of it. You can go on and on and on and on and on, and all it does is give you even more bliss. It's the opposite. You get more excited about it. That's why when we're given 16 rounds of japa, Srila Prabhupada says it's minimum. We need to add more to it if we want the sweetness. Krishna to crank the sweetness in our life. Then on our own, Srila Prabhupada has given us the mercy by saying, okay, no less than 16 rounds. So you do 16 rounds, you've obeyed Srila Prabhupada. But when you do more than 16 rounds, you're also obeying Srila Prabhupada because he said it's the minimum. But then you've gone past it, and therefore Krishna realizes on your own you want to connect with him more. Therefore he connects with you more. And then the process becomes sweeter. Sometimes there are challenges that come in our lives. So then we try to make the 16 rounds daily, because that we shouldn't do less than, because that disobeying the spiritual master. That may be okay, but we should always strive for more, 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 more in Krishna consciousness. Never ever give up. Srila Prabhupada says, by the grace, this is still the purport, by the grace of such a great devotee, one can understand the absolute truth, Krishna, and one's relationship with him. What are we? Gopi Bhartu Parakamalaya Dasa Dasa Andas. Servant of a servant of a servant of the husband or the eternal consort for the devotees. I mean, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotees, the gopis. And the gopis are, bar none, the ones that are most connected with Krishna. That doesn't mean anybody can, nobody can connect like the gopis. They are the example. Their whole life is about Krishna. Where is Krishna? Day and night, where is Krishna? How can we meet Krishna? How can we prepare to have pastimes with Krishna? Their whole life is about Krishna. That's the way we should be. Rupa Goswami, who himself is a Manjari in the spiritual world, Rupa Manjari, the original form, he says, think of Krishna the whole time. Krishna himself says that too. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, text 65, Man mana bhava mat bhakto, mat gaji mam namas kuru, mam evasyasi satyam te, patijane priyo simi. He says, man mana, think about me. Mat bhakto, become my devotee, mat gaji mam namas kuru, offer obeisances and also worship me. And if you do that, you will come to me because you're my dear friend. Krishna loves us. Krishna really, really loves us. Some of us in our own lives, and I could just humbly talk a little bit about my own self, without the mercy of my spiritual master, I would be nowhere. Nowhere. Without the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I'd be nowhere. Spiritually, I'd be nowhere. And materially, I'd be lost. Spiritual life is the only reason for living. That I'm very clear about. By the mercy, as it says here, of the pure devotee. And therefore, I'm sure that many of you would join me in being most grateful to Srila Prabhupada for what he has done. The spiritual masters that initiated us, some of us like me being second generation, as we are called, the initiated by the gurus who are disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they tell us more about Srila Prabhupada. They connect more with Srila Prabhupada. And so through Srila Prabhupada, we are moving forward. And again, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada has come through because it's because of him that we can chant less than 64 rounds and still be considered by Krishna at the time that we're leaving this physical body to be allowed back the spiritual world. So spiritual life or understanding of the absolute truth and living it does not depend on all kinds of denial of the physical body. That has been made clear by Srila Prabhupada, been made clear by Jad Bharat also. He says the opportunity. He says, my dear King Rahugan, read directly. Unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of a great devotee, one cannot realize the absolute truth. Now, that also has been explained. It does not physically mean physically to take the dust of the lotus feet of a great devotee and smear it over your body. It says that here. But there's an interpretation of it. Interpretation is to smear the body with the lotus feet, your body with the lotus feet of the dust of the lotus feet of a great devotee is to get literally your whole body smeared with the words, the teachings of the great devotee. So the teachings represent the dust of the lotus feet of the great devotee. To smear your entire body is just to take it in. to have it the major aspect of your life. That is smearing the entire body with the lotus feet, the dust of the lotus feet of a great devotee. Many of us will not be able to meet great devotees face to face every day. That's not going to happen. The world is not set up that way. But we certainly, even through technology, can hear the instructions and the advice from the great devotees. And that is explained by Radha Maharaj as smearing the body with the dust of lotus feet. So we take what the great devotees say and we live according to it. That is smearing the body with the dust of the lotus feet from the great devotee. What is the great devotee talking about? The absolute truth anyway. And if we live according to it, then Krishna would reveal. The absolute truth is revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. So Maharaj Ahugan is saying, actually he himself was fortunate because Jat Maharaj himself was a great devotee of the Lord. He was Bharat Maharaj two lifetimes back, then got into a body of a deer, which is a whole story in itself, trying to be pious, but he wound up not taking his bhakti process seriously. And therefore Krishna had him live in a body of a deer, because at the time he was dying as Bharat Maharaj, he was thinking of a deer. So a deer that he took care of. Then after that, he got out of a deer's body, took a human body again by the mercy of the Lord, and now he was a great devotee, now preaching by Krishna's arrangement to Maharaj Rahugan, revealing what he knows about bhakti yoga. So in the purport, the Prabhupada quotes Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 33. Vedasu dulabham adulabham atma bhakta govindam adi purusha tamaham bhajami. To the full text is Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam adyam purana purusham nava yovanam cha. Vedasu dulabham adulabham atma bhakta govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Translation is, I worship Govinda. This is Lord Brahma speaking for our benefit. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas, but obtainable by pure, unalloyed devotion of the soul, who is without a second, who is not subject to decay, is without a beginning. This is the primeval Lord, whose form is endless, who is the beginning and the eternal Purusha, Neo. Yet he is a person possessing the beauty of blooming youth. So the Lord is always youthful. Sometimes in religion they say, well, God has been around a long time, since the beginning of time, so by now he must be very old. So one argument came the other day when a person visited our temple in Harrisburg and saw the picture of Krishna. And she was a Christian and she said, but why does God look like this? You call this God? And I was asking what she expects. She said, but God has been around a long time. So then you expect to be an old person? Well, I didn't have to ask her that. It was definitely implied. Then I said, well, what happens to old people? Old age, the next thing is death. She agreed. I said, well, does God die? She said, no. Then I said, why does she have to be old then? Why does he have to look old? So this is not even me. It was just the words just came out of my mouth because the spiritual master obviously is there to always help with what we say. And so she began to understand, oh, okay, well, God is there from the beginning of time, but God does not get old because God does not have to die. And old people do die. This is our, you know, experience. And so then she accepted the picture of the Lord. And she also saw the beauty of the Lord. This is also one thing. The beauty, because he's the source of everything. You cannot give beauty while you're not beautiful yourself. You can't give what you don't have. So the Lord is everything. As long as we remember that Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then we are in the right mood. And always we will be ready to give ourselves to Krishna, and Krishna will give himself to us. We will in fact begin to see signs of Krishna making us more and more excited about bhakti. It happens to everyone, as long as they're not offensive. It's offenses that cut off. It makes Radharani upset with us, and Radharani is a mother of devotion, and when she's upset with us, Krishna doesn't give us any kind of excitement in Krishna consciousness. Then we just do business as usual, as my Guru Maharaj likes to put it. It will be business as usual, going through things mechanically, even if it's part of devotional service. We go through mechanically, and at the end of the day, things haven't changed much. And then it goes on year after year after year, and people wonder why. Well, usually the problem is offenses, how we act to people. So we have to be careful what we think, because if we think negatively, we open our mouths after thinking negatively, we are likely to speak negativity. And once you've spoken negativity, now you put it out in the air, that's an offense. Criticizing and gossiping, those are negative things. You shouldn't speak those. Now, we put it out like that, then our actions follow. We are likely to do things against whoever that we feel negatively to. Or we could serve them, but we would not want to. We always have to understand that devotees, for the most part, are not pure. If they were pure, Srila Prabhupada would come here and just be part of enjoying Krishna consciousness with us. But he came to teach us. You teach people who don't know. And you live life as an example to show people who don't know what to do. And so by his mercy, he has come to teach us, and we have to follow. And so he wasn't speaking negatively about devotees. So you don't speak negatively about devotees. He was a teacher, therefore he was correcting those who were doing the wrong thing. It was very hard on them, because he didn't want us to have any connection with the Mayavad philosophy. So he was hard on them. He says they were rascals. Nobody wants to start to hear things from a rascal. When he says that, you know, not to go to them to hear what they're saying. So in one sense, he was hard on them, and the gurus, the teachers can be like that. But we were benefiting from it, because now devotees won't think, I'm going to study the Shastra and be like Narayan at some point. I will be so advanced, I'll be like Narayan, and I can be called Narayan. How many devotees in this can't think like that? Of course, nobody. It's hard to meet anybody who thinks like, hey, they're Narayan. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada was very hard on that Mayavad philosophy. Had he not put it down, people would have said, oh, maybe this is also something, after all, they're also disconnecting from material life, and we are also disconnecting from material life, so there must be something about it. Srila Prabhupada has been very, 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 very strong with his words against it. Lord Chaitanya defeated it. Srila Prabhupada used even stronger words to help us not to go the wrong way. So, also in Chaitanya Charitamrita Majja, chapter 19, text 167, Srila Prabhupada quotes, Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukunena krishnanu silanam bhakti uttama. The translation is, when first-class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy, and fruitive action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. That is the translation. First-class devotional service means one must not connect with material desires. Material activity to keep your life going, that must be done, because we're still in these physical bodies. But material desires to satisfy the senses, that we cut off. Because if we willingly cut it off, then Krishna sweetens our devotion and we become happy and realize that we can live life without those material desires. It is actually true. But we have to give it a try to physically remove ourselves from involving in material things for sense gratification, and then slowly by chanting and chanting in a desperate mood, Krishna begins to remove the material desires, and it happens for every individual by, it's almost like custom. Krishna gives us custom reasons. He customizes the reasons, our own special reasons why we would come to conclude something that we can accept, that this is the reason why I would not involve myself in this particular material thing. And that way, when the reason comes, then the desire also goes. The material desire is gone then. Because every time that Maya shows our senses, oh, this material thing is there, then that reason that Krishna has given us to cut off also kicks in from the intelligence. This is why you don't do it. This is why you don't do it. This is why, and everybody has their own. I have my own. And I'm sure when you preach, when you also teach, and you can preach also, it's another thing in itself. By how you behave, you also preach. It's not always words. By how you behave, you also preach like that. Behave in the mode of goodness. So all of that goes to help a person slowly get the favor of the pure devotee, and he's a representative of Krishna, the Guru, and Krishna himself, Lord Chaitanya. Then the material desires slowly, slowly go. Activities stop, but the desires also go. And when the desires are going, you feel freed up. You really feel freed up, and you begin to become happy. So everyone has that opportunity. It's just a question of taking this life, material life, putting it where it's supposed to be, necessary only, no more, and material activities, that are negative, that are only gratifying the senses, they have to go. In spiritual life, taken more seriously, and association of devotees taken as the most important way in which you do things. Quite apart from chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we'll stop here. The text, the translation, my dear King Rahugan, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy, brahmacharya, strictly following the rules and regulations of household and life, leaving home as a vanaprast, accepting sannyas, or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water, or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of a sun. There are many processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. Jai. So we have attained the mercy of Śrīla Prabhupāda. We should take advantage of it. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. So now you can unmute your phones, Hare Krishna, and make comments or ask questions as you like. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for the class.
Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy.
Yes, so Prabhu, some people have, even without associated devotees, like living alone also, realized, right, self-realized, right? Yogis. It's impossible or... recommended that you should stay in association
with devotees? And I understand the question, it's a good question. There are devotees who have spent time by themselves. These days, Kali Yuga and a lifestyle does not permit good, you know, good, quiet, you know, time with oneself to connect with the spiritual, with spiritual life that way. It's difficult because Kali Yuga has so many distractions. And that's why it's easier for us to just chant and associate and be together and be reminded. The second point is, we do not do a lot of these activities in Krishna consciousness so well. We're not expert at it. And so we've been given so many ways through association that we can serve and add to our spiritual credits. We don't chant at the way, pure chanting is done by the pure devotees. Our minds stray. All right. So then there's hearing, then there's worshiping, there's offering obeisances, and all of those things. Some of them involve association with devotees. So that's why it's best to do that rather than to be by ourselves and have our own bhajan. It's difficult these days. Hare Krishna. It's not impossible.
Hare
it's
Krishna.
Difficult.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
What are the characteristics of bhakti from a pure devotee? What does the bhakti from a pure devotee look like? How does it present itself?
Fortunately, these days, we have a way which we can see. Not just hear, but also see. I'm talking about video. One of the easiest ways is watch Srila Prabhupada a lot. Not only when he's preaching, but when he's associating with devotees. I particularly learned a lot by listening to, this is audio still, not many videos are there, but audios of when Srila Prabhupada would go on a morning walk with devotees. When he goes on morning walks with devotees, he would preach, but very little. For the most part, the devotees would be asking all kinds of, and I mean, they ask all kinds of questions about everything and everything under the sun. There'd be anything they've heard of. And sometimes, even though they understand Srila Prabhupada's position, they will get into a mild debate with him. Because, but we've heard this, and in Islam, they said that the Prophet Muhammad allowed the eating of meat, and then there are other people too who are very renounced, and they go to different places. And I'll talk about Srila Prabhupada's response. This is what the devotees are saying. Okay, they go to different places, and, you know, whatever gets offered to them, they're so renounced to whatever they eat. So if they get offered meat, then they'll eat meat. And they get all of these arguments. And Srila Prabhupada listened to all of them and said, all right, now. So the best thing to do, that's always the right thing to do. And the best thing to do is vegetarianism. If the people who, and this is what was actually happening, Prophet Muhammad was speaking to people in the desert. And the desert doesn't have much to provide by way of vegetables. Okay? So in that situation, people, you have to eat something. So that was allowed. In other words, we're saying it to say, Srila Prabhupada is very practical. That's the first thing we want to make a point about. He's very, very practical. Now, so Krishna, well, let me just go back to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada says that right now, we are in a situation where proper diet for the human is available. So why go someplace where, you know, to eat something? Okay, that's, Hare Krishna, you may have to do star six, whoever's doing something else, because we can hear the, just hit star and six again, and you can still hear. Okay. All right. That's no problem. So basically, to sum it up so I don't get too long in this, the practical thing is there. The instructions have been given by Srila Prabhupada. You follow that, Srila Prabhupada himself does it. What he says, he also does. And so a pure devotee will preach what Krishna has said, to sum it up. Preach Krishna has said and live like that. And live like that. So if you watch and if you hear, especially watch these things, you can watch videos, you will get a sense of what he's like. One thing I want to add to it, final thing is, I saw Srila Prabhupada, I never saw him personally, but I saw a video of him in Rathiatra. And Rathiatra, this was in New York City. And devotees were all excited, and of course they were into it, you know, with the kirtans. You see, the Prabhupada himself, I watched him, and the way he was responding, you could just feel the devotion. He's a whole personification of devotion practically. And so there's inspiration you also can get by watching the pure devotees, what they say and also what they do. Hopefully that helps. Hare Krishna.
answered that problem. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other comments or questions?
Okay, well, if there are no comments, we'll close the call.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Jai.
Jai.